Would you please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1 this morning. On December 17th of this past year, 2017, my wife and I were in the Charleston, South Carolina area. We had gone down there for the weekend. I spoke for a little small group there, and we took some time off, and on Sunday morning, we went to church over in Charleston, and after the service, we went to get in our vehicle to drive back to Greenville, and I grabbed my cell phone, and I checked my text messages, and this message came up on my screen. I'd like to read it to you. It came from a young man that used to travel with us in our ministry. His name is Aaron Coffey. Aaron is an evangelist, and he wrote me. Said these words, "Can you please pray? Matt Clemens just died in a car accident. Please pray for Carol Ann," that's his wife. "She and Asa," that's their little boy, "are fine. They were not with him. She is lost and overwhelmed." I read it and I read it again. And have you ever had one of those moments where you're told something and you're not really sure, is that really true? The stark reality that this young man that I knew as a student at Bob Jones, he graduated my first year of presidency, married a girl who was our student body president, who I personally counseled the couple, and they asked me about traveling with Aaron, and I encouraged them to do it. And then after a year of traveling, they came back, and Matt said to me, "I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about going to grad school or traveling still." I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" He said, "Well, I really want to travel." I said, "Well, do it." And they had traveled for 2.5 years, and they were home for vacation. His wife was from Decatur, Alabama, and they were in church that morning, just like you and I are in church today. They drove to church, and Matt dropped his wife and little baby boy off and said, "I'll be right back. I need to go home." We left our cell phones, and they had to do something after the service, and they needed the phones. And so he drives home, gets the cell phone, jumps in the car. It's a five-minute drive back to church, takes a curve, and oddly, strangely, something happened. He went off the road, flipped the car over, and he died instantly of head trauma. Not even 25 years old. And as soon as that happened, things began to kick into my heart. And I called Aaron up about an hour later, and I said, "Aaron," I said, "I want to talk to you. We need to do something, and we need to do it now to help Carol Ann." And we began to put into motion, and really Aaron did most of it, but began to put into motion an opportunity to try to raise funds for her to take care of their family, at least for some period of time. And that response, that desire to help, is actually coming out of a heart that all of us have experienced, and that's a heart of compassion, of feeling your way into their suffering and then doing something about it. That's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. And that is having a heart of compassion and entering into people's feelings and doing something about it. And this morning we have a wonderful story and illustration of Jesus' healing or cleansing of a leper and what it was that motivated him to do what he did. And I'd like us to read the story beginning in Mark 1 and verse 40, where we will look at Christ's healing of this leper and what it was that motivated him and what I believe it is that should be motivating us. Mark chapter 1, notice if you will please in verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him," that's Jesus, "and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt," literally if you desire, "thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, I desire this, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. May we bow our heads together for prayer and ask God's blessing on this time. Father, we thank you this morning for the word that you have given to us and the testimony of the heart of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, of our lack of compassion. And help us, Lord, to see what people are experiencing and enter into those feelings, those emotions. And God, do something about what's going on in people's lives. Touch our hearts and our churches with a heart of compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark tells us here of the response of Jesus when a leper came to him. A man who came and he knelt down and he begged Jesus to cleanse him from this awful disease. And the Bible says, and it describes, that when Jesus saw this man, he felt something, for surely compassion is a feeling. It says he was moved with compassion, and it moved him. And what was the result? Well, Jesus, the Bible says, spoke, and this man was cleansed of his leprosy so that the disease literally no longer existed. This morning, I'd like us to consider this idea of Jesus being moved with compassion, because this was the compelling attribute that stirred Jesus to action. And I believe that it is this emotion, compassion, that is foundational for any church if they are going to have effective gospel ministry. The church needs to be moved with compassion. So would you consider with me this morning a number of things? First of all, let's just consider the very root and the very heart of compassion. The Bible in the text here says this morning in verse 40 and 41, it says that Jesus saw the leper and he was moved with compassion. What is compassion? Well, the word actually finds its root meaning in the stomach. The Greeks, in order to describe the deepest emotions of a person's inner being, described it as something coming out of your guts. You understand this because when we think of an experience that is very difficult, we call it gut-wrenching. Oftentimes, people will buckle over in brokenness. We also understand that when we're nervous, we get an upset stomach. We get butterflies, or we sometimes worry about things and we get ulcers in our stomach, so there's a connection to our emotions and our inner being. And so Mark uses this word here that really describes a great sense of affection in heart and a compassion. What is compassion? Compassion means that you feel your way into someone's needs. You feel your way into their needs. Compassion comes when we see the sufferings of others and we begin to share in their emotional pain. We understand where they are and we share in that. Compassion is the way that Jesus constantly responded when he saw people's sufferings. Many of these stories you are well acquainted with. For example, the Bible says in Mark 6, that Jesus saw the multitudes, and when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without what? Shepherds. And so he felt, he saw them, he saw their insecurity, he felt that, and it moved his heart. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible tells us that Jesus saw a widow who was attending the funeral of her son who was being carried outside a little village called Nain. And the Bible says that when he saw her, knowing that she was his only son, and it's interesting that the word only is the exact same word for Jesus in John 3:16 when it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It means the son of her heart, the son of her affection. And her son had died. She was a widow. Now she was left all alone. And when Jesus saw her, the Bible says he had compassion on her and he healed the boy. Jesus tells us stories about compassion and responding in compassion. For example, you know the story about a certain Samaritan who went down from the city of Jerusalem on his way to Jericho, and there he saw a man who had been beaten up and left for dead. And the Bible says that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And that was in contrast to two other men who had seen the same man but didn't do anything for him, a Levite and a priest, two religious people. You know, being religious and being compassionate are not one and the same. And this Samaritan, who was a half-breed, a mixed race of Jew and Gentile, had a broken heart, saw this man and reached out and did something for him. And just, let me just say to you, and I want to reiterate this all throughout this message this morning, that being religious does not mean that you have compassion. But compassion, according to the scripture, is what makes the difference in ministry. And then, of course, the famous story of the prodigal son and his father. And as the son was coming back, the Bible says that the father saw him a great way off and he had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed his son. Throughout the New Testament, we read that Jesus was moved by compassion when he saw the suffering and the misfortunes of others. And he was moved with compassion and he entered in and understood their state. And we know that this is very true of Jesus here in Mark chapter 1 when he saw this man. For the text tells us here that this man was a leper. And of course, Jesus had full understanding of leprosy. He understand the physical problem of leprosy. What was leprosy? It was a skin disease. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, two whole chapters in the Bible, actually discusses leprosy. And it actually had a variety of skin diseases, but the primary idea of leprosy was it was a disease that was caused by slow-growing bacteria, and people lost the ability to feel pain. So it brings numbness to the extremities, like your toes and your fingers, your nose, your eyes. And what happens is you begin to lose parts of these extremities due to repeated injuries and infection that is due to unnoticed wounds. First time I came into contact with leprosy was in India. I'd gone to the city of Bangalore to preach in a Bible college, and I was in a little transportation vehicle called an auto rickshaw. And it was a three-wheeled little thing with a fellow that sits up front and he drives it with these two handles here. And you can sit in the back. And it was enough room in the back for two Americans to sit or seven or eight Indians, however you want to look at it, because they actually crammed into them. And as I was sitting there at the traffic light, suddenly a bandaged hand comes inside that auto rickshaw. And it was a beggar on the street who was wanting money, but he was a leper. And you could see his fingers that had fallen off and bandaged. I remember being in Africa a number of years ago and visiting in the home of a pastor in a small village. And as we sat in his hut, a man came walking in and he had a scarred face. It looked like part of his nose was missing. And suddenly after being there a few moments, it dawned on me that surely that this man was, and he was, a leper. The Bible tells us here in Mark 1 that this man had leprosy, but in a parallel passage in Luke 5, it says the man was full of leprosy. It just didn't affect his hands. It covered his entire body. And Jesus was moved with compassion. You know what? That sounds like my phone down there. Would you go grab my phone right there? I'm sorry, folks. I should have turned that off. And it's going to sound like tally-ho the whole service. You know how to turn it off there, Stephen? I'm sure you do. Far better than I. Jesus was moved with compassion because he understood the man's physical problems, but he also fully understand the social problems of being a leper. In the Old Testament law, Leviticus chapter 13, it tells us what a leprous person was to do. This is God's word. And that is that he was to wear torn clothes and he was to allow his hair to hang loose. And when he goes out in public, he was to cover his upper lip and cry out unclean. And the Bible says he would remain unclean as long as he had the disease all of his life. He had to live alone. He had to live outside the camp. As time went along, the lepers had to stay 150 feet away from the crowd, and they were required not to come any closer. Lepers were to appear as repulsive as possible to avoid contact with society. Why? To protect people from the health problems of leprosy. It was a contagious disease. So they lived socially in isolation and humiliation. They lost their identity. Whatever their family name was, whatever their job was, wherever they lived, they were simply known as a leper. Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, summarized the condition of lepers by saying they were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. You could call them the original walking dead. That's what they were. But Jesus also understood the spiritual problem of leprosy. Because with leprosy, anyone who had come into contact with a leper would have been considered spiritually unclean. All other illnesses had to be healed, but with a leper, not only did he need to be healed, but he needed to be cleansed. And leprosy represents in the Bible more than any other thing, it represents what sin is. For not only do we need to be healed from sin and delivered, but we need to be cleansed from sin. So what is compassion? It is seeing the sufferings of others and sharing in their emotional struggle. Compassion includes seeing these things, and compassion is vital for effective ministry. Compassion moves us to do something to reach those that normally we would never reach. I heard the story of a well-known pastor who had a tremendous ministry reaching people. Somebody asked him, what was the secret to his ministry? Why is it that you're so effective? And his answer was, because of the moist spot in the corner of my eye. He said, I am constantly moved with compassion. I was a youth pastor for 5 years. In my 5 years of ministry there, as I started out working, I made a decision to go visit into the homes of our teenagers. You know, teenagers, if you don't really have a relationship with them, it's easy to become irritated with them. Obviously, you understand. Because they're young and they're immature and obviously they're growing. And you have higher expectations of them. And so sometimes when you're a youth pastor, it's easy to become irritated with teenagers. And I started visiting their homes, and suddenly I began to see them in their own environment, and I began to understand them, and I began to see what they were living with. And then the next Sunday when they would come to church and I would see them walk in, I had a different perspective. And I began to realize that the very fact that they were in church in some cases was a miracle. The very fact that they were actually even believers was a miracle. And what they were coming out of and seeing them in their need changed my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get out and see people in their needs, I'm telling you, you lack compassion. Churches are cold, not because they don't really care about people. It's just that they don't see people where they live. They don't visit them where they are. They simply live in their own little world, and they come and they listen to the word of God, but the church becomes cold. You have to get out and see people in their needs. My wife was diagnosed with cancer in 1998 and again in 2008, and I learned something. Everywhere we would go, people that had cancer, or they had people who had cancer in their family, always came up to my wife. and always talk to my wife. Why? Because they sense that my wife would understand. Folks, you can't have ministry if you don't understand people. If all we do is present to them Christianity without understanding, sometimes they won't come because they don't know if you really care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Jesus saw this man. He was the perfect Son of God. Therefore, his compassion was with perfection. He saw the need and he was moved to do something about it. That's really the heart of compassion. But let me move on, if I may, this morning and say something about the risk of compassion. You cannot have compassion without doing some things that are risky. The compassion that Jesus showed in his day was actually in conflict with the social structure and the barriers of his day. Let me put it this way, compassion is risky business. The leper coming to Jesus understates a highly provocative and offensive encounter. This man was to stay away from the crowd 150 feet. Even the law of God told him to do that. He was breaking God's law and all the social customs of his day. Furthermore, Jesus' response was no less scandalous. Let me ask you a question. What would a normal observant Jew had done when he saw the leper coming towards him? What would he have done? What would you do? You would recoil. You would try to protect yourself. You would stay away. We do the same thing all the time. And yet, what did Jesus do? Instead of turning away from the leper, he turned to the leper. He touched him. Normally, if you touch the unclean, it would make the clean unclean. But in this case, it was the opposite. He touched the unclean and he made the unclean clean. And we see here an example of the kind of ministry that compassion has. Compassion ministries touch the untouchable. Let me put it this way. They reach out to those that nobody wants to touch. Compassion ministries risk reaching those who are at-risk people. Compassion ministries embrace the contemptible elements of society with the gospel of God's love. Let me tell you something, folks. Talk is cheap. And churches that talk about God's love and they don't go out and show compassion to touch the untouchable, your talk is cheap. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to show you why it is that oftentimes churches are ineffective. It is because they lack compassion ministries. Compassion ministries embrace the very things that people would normally despise and reject. That's why compassion ministries will often get pushback from the church. Why? Because you're reaching out to the untouchables and the unclean and the unlovely. However, compassion ministries are crucial if a church is going to be authentically Christian. The touch of Jesus, someone said, spoke more loudly than his words. And the words of Jesus touched the leper more deeply than any act of human love. He really cared and he showed it. May I ask you a question? What is your ministry of compassion? Who are the social outcasts that your church are trying to reach? Are you more concerned about the church being clean, or are you more concerned about your church reaching the unclean? What kind of ministry of compassion does your church have? The kind of church that you have here is the kind of church I've ministered in for 38 years. So I think I know your kind of church well. And when I started in a local church ministry as a youth pastor in 1980, 38 years ago, every church, like your church, had a compassion ministry, every one of them. You know what the compassion ministry was? What was it? It was a bus ministry. That's a compassion ministry. You know why? Because you reach people nobody's reaching. You're going into homes that nobody really wants to go into, because most bus ministries were reaching people in the lower income level. The first time I ever worked in a bus ministry was in the summer of 1978. I'd graduated from college. I went to a school in South Carolina called the Citadel. It's a military school. I was getting ready to go to Bob Jones University for my graduate program, and I worked in this home, in this church, as an intern. And I was so excited about working in that church as an intern that summer and all the things that I was going to do. I was going to work in camp ministry and preaching ministry and evangelistic ministry. And I got to the church and they had a bus ministry, but I really wasn't that interested in the bus ministry. And I had to live my first couple of weeks there as I was getting into a home. I had to have a home to live in. I lived for a couple of weeks with a man in the church who was the bus pastor. And he was a bus fanatic. He believed the Apostle Paul ran buses in Corinth. I mean, he was crazy about it. And he bugged me to death about being a bus pastor. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to be a bus captain. I'll do everything else, but I don't want to do that. And one night after church, my pastor, Dr. Ed Nelson, some of you may have heard of Dr. Nelson, came down, I remember very clearly, came down out of the pulpit after the service for whatever reason, I don't know why, he walked straight up to me, and he pointed his finger at me, and he said, Steve, I want you to be a bus captain. I didn't know what to say. I said, sir, yes, sir. Did you like it? No. For at least a month, I hated it. I had to get up on Saturday morning. I grew up doing nothing on Saturday morning. I had to go out and visit all day. Then you had to go in on Sunday morning. And, you know, church starts at 9:30 or whatever, Sunday school. And you got to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning and go and pick people up. And then I would go and pick up children. And I got about half of those that said they were going to come. Then I pull into the parking lot and let the kids out, and the bus pastor came to me and said, how many did you have on the bus? I said, none of your business. I had a bad attitude. Then I had to take the kids home after church, and always bother me. Number one, I didn't get back till 2:30, couldn't eat till 2:30. And then all the nice church people, this is what really irritated me, all the nice church people like you folks, who came to church, wore the nice little clothes, girls had their nice little dresses on, and they sat on their soft pews, and then they got in their nice air-conditioned cars, and they were getting ready to go out to eat at their nice restaurant while I was taking all these bus kids home. I didn't like it. And let me tell you something, compassion ministries are never that easy. And I was about a month into it. And God doesn't speak to me audibly, but God definitely convicts my heart. As I was taking a busload of kids home, I was sitting on the front seat, and there were two little girls sitting next to me and one little girl sitting on my lap. It's almost like God said, Steve, don't you get it? Don't you understand that the whole reason that this is going on is that somebody needs to love these kids to me, and that you may be the only Jesus they'll ever meet? And I remember coming under deep conviction, begging God to forgive me, and said, Lord, give me a love for children that I don't have, because it's not in me, but it is in you. And I would say probably for the next 20 to 25 years, I worked weekly with children. I ran children's programs. What is compassion? Compassion is when you reach out to those that you would not normally reach out to. What happens when we stop compassion ministries? We lose the opportunity to see lepers cleansed. You know why churches die? It's not because, you know, if you don't want to do the bus ministry, okay, fine. But have compassion ministries. Churches lose compassion. Then they become focused on stuff. And you become focused on you. While people all around you are not seeing Christ's love because nobody shows them compassion. It's risky, and it's worth it all. That leads me to the final thing this morning, and that is, what was the result of Jesus' compassion? Well, we go back to our text, and we look at verse 43, and it says, he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. So this man was obviously delivered. He was clean, cleansed. And Jesus told him to go to see the priest, that is, to follow the method of the Old Testament as laid out in Leviticus, to follow the law. But something happened that was very interesting. It says, verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much, and ablaze abroad the matter. Now let me just stop here. The question is, did he ever go to the priest or not? And the answer is, we're not really sure. He could have gone to the priest and then afterwards announced that Christ had healed him. We don't know. My tendency is to think is the word but there is a contrast. That is, he actually didn't do this. But the result of this is very clear, and that is, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, let me try to explain something here. The book of Mark was written by Mark, who was the disciple of Peter. So Mark, who did not know Jesus, wrote these stories here based upon what Peter had said. And if you look at Mark real carefully, you'll read it's not a chronology of Christ's life. Like, for example, the book of Matthew talks about Jesus' birth and Mary and being born of a virgin and growing up. Luke talks about the same similar things, but Mark is totally different. Why? Because Mark is not primarily a chronology of Christ's life. It's a gospel message. It's like a sermon. So therefore, it has a theme, a message, and all of the stories are fitting into that theme. So what is the book of Mark all about? First of all, it's all about revealing Christ as God's Son and God's servant who suffers. And so the core verse is Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The whole point of Mark is he's pointing to Christ as a suffering servant who would go and bleed and die. But wait a minute, the people did not see Jesus as that in the beginning. They saw him as the Messiah who would come as a conquering king, and they did not have it in their mind that he would be a suffering servant. The second purpose of the book of Mark is it's a manual for Christian discipleship. It shows us what disciples are like and what they need to learn. Well, Mark chapter 1 is in the beginning of the book. And earlier on in verses 15, 16, and 17, Christ calls his disciples to come to him. And so the lessons that follow are things the disciples are learning, okay? And what were they learning here? Obviously, they were learning to have compassion. That's pretty clear. But something else happened that's quite unique. And that is, Jesus, if you could say it this way, was the insider who healed the outsider. Remember, the leper was outside and Jesus was on the inside. And Jesus healed that leper so that the outsider became an insider. But what happened to Jesus? He suddenly became an outsider. He suddenly was pushed out. And I believe Mark is telegraphing a message. And that is, first and foremost, he is showing us that Jesus Christ was going to go outside the camp to bear our reproach. Jesus was going to a cross to die for us who are all lepers, who all need to be cleansed from our sins. That Jesus was God's servant, and the way he served his Father is he would die upon a cross to pay for our sins so that we could become insiders. We could become a part of God's family. And all of us become God's children by faith in the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. But he also was showing something else. Because he was showing his disciples, and by the way, the book of Mark was the first gospel written probably around 65 AD, And he was writing to the Christians in the city of Rome who would have already known the gospel. They already knew the gospel. But you know what? They were suffering at the hands of Nero, the emperor of Rome. And when you read this book over and over, you see the suffering servant who came, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, with the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And what does this teach us in the very beginning of the book of Mark? That God's servants that follow him will suffer like their master. And he's telling these disciples, take up your cross, follow me, serve me, and do your will. I think this story is a telegraph showing us not only what Christ would do, but what his servants would be like. And that we are to show compassion to the world. And in so doing, we will become outsiders. But in so doing, we'll help them to become insiders. It's very interesting. This past week at Bob Jones, we had a special speaker come in on Thursday night. You've probably heard of him. His name is Tim Tebow. How many of you ever heard of Tim Tebow? Actually, his family calls him Timmy, but I'm not real comfortable with that. And he was really good. And of course, whenever you have somebody in public, you're always hoping that they're going to be in private, what you're hoping for in public. You know, that's kind of the way we think as Christians. I understand that. And all of us, by the way, are vulnerable. All of us can be good one day and be bad another day. But He really was a good testimony. But if I were to say what was the most distinguishable characteristic about him, because in the world he's actually suffered a lot. He's been really rejected. But you know what's the most distinguishable characteristic about him? His compassion. In his ministry to help the helpless. And to reach those that are in darkness to give them a brighter day. So that all of his speaking engagement money goes to serve those people. And he was a great example. He was a great example for our students. As one who was passionate about compassion. So I want to charge the good people here of Emmanuel Baptist Church. May God grant us grace to be like Jesus. What is your compassion? What are you doing to see lepers cleansed? I hope all of us will be stirred to have hearts of compassion.